This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
We are here at Moda Center for Nike Hoop Summit tonight.
I kind of enjoy this. I'm picking up what you're laying down with this elimination of the.
Thank you.
It's not the Nike Hoop Summit. It's not the Moda Center. I enjoy this. I think this is something that we need to continue to try to percolate amongst the people.
It is world versus USA. Well, it is. What are you laughing at?
I am thoroughly enjoying this.
Hey, Swag gave me a little nugget.
Ooh. Well, Swag's full of nuggets. Look at him. He's got his whole prep sheet going on. Swag's going to be on the call here starting at 6:30.
Yes. Yes.
How long did you have to go over how to pronounce everyone's names for the world team?
Oh, he says 20 minutes.
he just sloughed that up. He's like, 20 minutes.
Not that
I'm
hard.
Fine.
Now, wait. How do you find out how to – you can put that headset on and turn on your mic.
Yeah.
Let's just get this over. Yeah. Jason Swigart, everybody.
Hello.
Now, how do you figure out how to pronounce their names? Did you go to YouTube?
No, I went to the media representative for the world team last night at practice and – confirm the pronunciation.
Oh, you actually took the time to drive down here? You were, like, at the practice?
At the Blazers practice facility last night where all the NBA scouting GMs, that's a scene. That's actually for people watching. It was the first time a few years ago that Kevin Pritchard, Rich Cho, and Neil O'Shea were all in the same place at the same time.
Oh. Did someone get Cho chopped?
Did
there?
A knife fight?
They all have their little groups because, you know.
Did Pritchard... Was it the Pritch slap?
Pritch slap.
Did he Pritch slap
the Cho chop?
They were all in different spots around the main practice floor there. So
they bifurcated.
Certainly. But last night, let's see, Rod Strickland was there. Alan Houston was there. Of course, Greg Anthony there watching his son practice. Joel Freeland showed up out of nowhere.
What's he doing there?
He was a guest. I don't know if he had anything with the world team or whatever. So Dame came out and said
hi.
Is
he retired?
It's good to be Joe Freeland.
Joel.
Oh,
Joel.
I thought you were saying Joe, like handsome Joe.
No,
former
Joel
Blazer.
Yeah,
former Blazer.
Blazer.
The Brit.
Yeah,
for a minute there, I was like, what? Like,
no.
Hey, Joe Freeman's a guest out there?
No. Dame came out and said hi.
What's Freeland doing now?
He was just a guest, so I don't know if he was working with the world team or he just...
Because he's a Brit, I know that,
yeah.
So let me look
There's
up.
No Brits on the team, so...
Give us your hot nugget. I'll let you...
Well, for a Trailblazer tie into this, Enes Kanter still holds the all-time scoring record for the world team with 34.
Wow.
Well, he was supposed to be like this huge deal. He went to Kentucky, but he couldn't play because he was getting paid. Right?
Yeah, there's some.
What?
Well, there's odd rule.
He's getting paid by someone other than Kentucky, which is out of the norm.
So in Europe, you can, as a teenager, play on some professional club teams, but there's specific rules about not getting a salary. They can pay for like your stipend, like put you up, but they can't pay you a salary and still keep eligibility.
He's playing out in Moscow. At least he was last year.
Ooh.
He was playing for CSKA Moscow.
You know, Landon Lucas played over in Russia, and he was like, man.
It's tough going.
Yeah. Some of those, not all, playing overseas is good.
Yeah.
Like, some of those spots are great. Greece, namely.
Yeah. Spain is another
Spain,
one.
Germany's probably pretty good.
Moscow.
I've heard that. I knew a couple gals that played women's basketball, you can make a bunch of money. Like,
that's
here,
what they do. The WNBA doesn't pay squat compared to Europe.
No, Europe, you make big bucks. But I've heard from a couple of people that I know that have played over there that China and Russia is where you make the most money. But it is it is sketchy. You don't know when you're going to get paid. You don't know the treatment you're going to get. It's just there's some horror stories coming from over there.
Well, maybe all if right, it's so related to soccer, CSKA Moscow is probably one of the best teams in Russia, if not the best team.
Did Mike just drop a soccer?
I think Mike dropped a soccer. Came out of nowhere. It's like a Macho Man off the top rope. He just came in out of nowhere.
Mike, damn it.
Cherokee Park's there last night, too.
Oh, yeah? Is he all tatted up?
He's still all tatted up. He went and got skinny and gaunt.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He looks much, much older than he probably is.
He's emo now.
Well, he went to
But, yeah, he still has the goofy butterfly tattoo on his neck.
Swigard, have a good call, okay?
Thank you. Thank you guys for being here.
Jason Swigard, well, we really didn't have a choice.
No, it's not like we...
Well,
you told us where to go.
You bailed on this show a couple times in the past.
No.
I'll take the day off.
It's like the 4th of July rodeo show where Rob suddenly has to leave town.
Oh, did I break the news to you guys? I'm going to be out of town then?
That's... Something's come up, guys. Where are you going? It's a family emergency.
Woo. All right, Swigard on the call with Rashad Taylor and Andrew Nimick tonight at 6:30. This really is a cool game. It's USA versus world. It's here every year at Moda Center. And some of the top players, including Greg Anthony's kid, Cole Anthony, who has Oregon on his Final Four list, will be playing out here tonight.
9 of the 12 ESPN top 100 high school players are here tonight.
And we are going to talk to Fran Fraschilla as well, former college basketball coach. He's an analyst for ESPN. He's going to be up here with us like he was last year. He's an entertaining guy, fun guy. We'll talk to him about Louis King, Bowl Bowl. Louis King announcing that he is going pro today.
I think that was a disappointing one for Oregon fans. And by the way, he can't come back. He's not enrolled in school. He's hired an agent, so he's gone.
So we'll get some basketball talk going with Fran Fraschilla. That'll be at 5:30 in about 20 minutes. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Now, I don't mean to call you out. I'm just here to help. You mispronounced it. It's not the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot 5
It's just five. Time for Hot 5 at 5.
Right. Right.
Just trying to keep you honest.
My bad. It takes getting used to.
Yeah.
You have to think about it. Jets add running back Ty Montgomery. Panthers sign wide receiver Chris Hogan.
Well, I mean, neither one of those are major moves. But, you know, Ty Montgomery, that's a really interesting case. Remember, he was a receiver. And it basically turned into one of those things where Green Bay didn't have a running back. So, he was, number, 18 or whatever. He had, a wide receiver number, and they're like, go play running back. And now he's kind of reinvented himself, and he'll back up Le'Veon Bell. In the NFL, you know you need more than one. It could be a nice little signing for them.
NFL Draft begins April 25th. Join us for our annual NFL Draft party at Kingpins in Beaverton, which is one of the top three places in the United States to raise children.
Yeah, so bring your kids.
As we've learned.
Or don't.
Reports the Arizona Cardinals, who have the number one pick, are already working on a four-year contract with Heisman winner Kyler Murray.
It's the worst-kept secret in the NFL. No, poor Josh Rosen.
Of course, their interest in doing this this early would be to get reassurance that he won't play baseball.
Yeah.
They need to talk to him about that. And he wouldn't be able to actually sign it until his name is announced on draft night.
But they'll come to an agreement on it. And by all accounts, he will be the number one pick.
Nike Hoop Summit, top high school players in the U.S. against the top 19 and under players from around the world. The game here on The Fan tonight at 6:30. That's where we're broadcasting from. Guys to watch, as I mentioned, Greg Anthony's son, Cole, he's a five-star guard. His Final Four list includes Oregon, Georgetown, North Carolina, and Notre Dame.
And then this Nico Mannion kid, who's the point guard on the other side, he's playing for the world team. He's going to Arizona, and that should be a fun matchup watching the two best point guards in this class go head-to-head.
Also, Australian guard Josh Green leads the world team. He's a top 10 prospect who played in this game last year. He's headed to Arizona. And as I mentioned, former coach, turned analyst Fran Fraschilla will sit down with us here in about 15 minutes or so.
Number three.
Blazers v. Thunder, game one, Sunday, here in this arena. 12:30 tip, which is fun. Oklahoma City swingman Paul George insists that he's fine. Of course, he is going to play in this series despite shoulder injuries. Reports were last month that he's playing with a small tear in one of his rotator cuffs. He has admitted that his shooting mechanics have been off because of it. Jason Quick of The Athletic told us here on the show yesterday, the thing that people don't know about George is it's actually both shoulders that are hurt. We had Eric Horn from
The Oklahoman
on earlier, and he said it's definitely a thing, but it's not a thing that's going to keep him out at all.
But it is
going to affect Paul George in this series.
Yeah, and you expect Portland, I would think, to test that out. Make him run through screens. Be physical with him. Knock him to the floor when he goes to the rim and see how well those shoulders hold up. That could be a major storyline because Oklahoma City has not been the same team since the All-Star break when George started having these shoulder problems.
Sounds like a job for the Hammer.
Damn right.
The Goon. By the way, since the injuries, which happened just after the All-Star break, the Thunder have played 20 games. They're only 9-11, and George has shot just 37% in those games, which is 6 points below his season average. Number two, the third one-and-done for Oregon basketball in three seasons. First, it was Troy Brown, and now, of course, Bol Bol. But he has been joined by Louis King today, who is declaring for the NBA draft, and he will hire an agent, so he is gone.
Yeah, and you can talk to an agent. You can drop it by a certain point, but he is not coming back. He's not enrolled. Dupreme had it today. He's not enrolled in classes. There's no chance he's coming back. He is gone. And I think that one stings a little bit. You knew Bol Bol was going to be gone, but King really started to show what he was capable of at the end of the year, and he's a guy that you know really could have benefited from another year of seasoning.
Yeah,
but
it's like he has an opportunity for a bigger check, I think,
I
if he comes back. Because
everyone has him as a late first round,
yes,
maybe even early,
yes,
second.
He is on ESPN's draft board. They have him as the number 15 small forward and the number 59 player overall.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But hey, I mean, who knows? It could have been, you know.
Remember, he was hurt. He had the ACL.
But it could be, you know, maybe he doesn't do well in school. Maybe he doesn't like school. You know, he just, there's, who knows? But he's a guy that you were really hoping could come back for one more year at Oregon.
And number one is the Masters. It was quite a scene today as Tiger Woods was damn near tackled by one of the
security bros. Tried to slide tackle him. Clipped him in the foot, and he was limping for a little bit, but he was okay.
Yeah, what happened was it was raining, and Tiger was in the trees hitting a shot around the patrons, and this guy was running to protect Tiger from the running patrons who were running behind him, and he slipped, and he literally barrel rolled right into freaking Tiger. Damn near took out his ACL. It was unbelievable.
Luckily, his foot was up. Tiger's was, and it kind of clipped him, but it was like a hold-your-breath moment because Woods kind of stepped awkwardly and then looked like he limped for a little
bit.
He
was limping, but he went on to make
it. He went on, and he was fine.
Hey, he is the story of the day, even though he's not leading. Tiger Woods went 4-under. He missed a couple of birdie putts coming in, but he was sensational all day. He is only one back of the lead, so here is your leaderboard. And, by the way, it is absolutely packed with every golf thoroughbred you can imagine. It is going to be a great weekend. So at 7-under, Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, and Louis Oosthuizen. The round of the day between those guys was Louis, who went 6-under. These guys are all at 6-under, one shot back. Dustin Johnson, I forget Harding's first name. What is his first? Justin Harding, the South African kid. Xander Schauffele went 7-under, best round of the day. Tiger Woods, those guys are all 6-under. There are only two guys 5-under, Ian Poulter and Jon Rahm.
There's a bunch of other big names sitting there at 4.
Yeah, 4-under, you've got Patrick Kizire, who is hanging around, Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, and Charles Howell III. And if you keep on going down, Bryson DeChambeau, who was the leader early in the morning, he had a two-shot lead at one point this morning. He went 3-over today. He really struggled, but he is still 3-under, along with Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Gary Woodland. I mean, did I miss any? Jordan Spieth played better today. He went 4-under, but he's back at 1-under overall because he stunk it up yesterday. But generally, there's only one guy who really struggled and will not make the cut among the elite players, and that's Justin Rose. He could not hit his driver. As a matter of fact, he benched his driver.
Number one player in the world, yet he put in his bag. Who else?
I've never seen him that bad.
Rory's in there at even par. He'll make the cut. Bubba Watson was at even par for the tournament. It really is. You could not ask for a better leaderboard going into the weekend.
It's great. And Aaron Wise, 1 under today. He is 2 over for the tournament, tied for 50th. The cut line was +3. All right, your Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Little Blazers Thunder talk next, and then Fran Fraschilla on set here at the Moda Center on The Fan.
Site of the 2019 Nike Hoop Summit. This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Fran Fraschilla is going to be up here in our next segment. Real quick, we are going to be at Kingpin's in Beaverton for our NFL draft party this year, and we have begun qualifying GM bros for our mock draft. This will be Thursday, April 25th. And as I mentioned yesterday, when we qualified our first three, this will be text only for all qualified GMs. So the text number is 55305. I'm going to qualify three more now, but you must text the exact terms that I give you because it's very streamlined now. Like, we're no longer all willy-nilly around here.
No.
This is the exact words that I say is what must be texted for you to have a chance, and we'll randomly select one for each of these three teams. So we'll take your text right now at 55305 if you would like to be the GM of Oakland. That is Oakland.
Starts with an O.
If you would like to be the GM of the NY Giants, that is NY Giants.
Not to be confused with the NY Jets, I'm assuming.
Or if you'd like to be the GM of Jacksonville. Well, Jacksonville.
Now you're forcing people to look up how to spell Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Like Jackson. That's me. I'm Jackson.
You are Jackson.
And I live in a ville. Itch. But don't put that on there.
Just Jacksonville. Autocorrect. Come on.
Yeah,
do it.
55305. Kingpins in Beaverton on the 25th.
On a completely unrelated note, and it probably matters to no one other than me and Mike, but the NHL playoffs are going on right now.
Yes.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning are the Golden State Warriors of the NHL. They are the best team by far. There's no one close to them. They are the best offensive team, the best defensive team, the best record. By every metric, they are the best team in the NHL. They were up 3-0 in game one to Columbus in the first round, lost that game 4-3. They're now down 3-0.
What?
In game number two.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is going on here?
This is...
Does this open a door for Moose Knuckle?
For the Moose Knuckle Warriors, yes. It's just going to slide right in. I mean, this is a...
Engineer Nick looked at me like I had three heads. He's clearly not up on
on the Moose Knuckle Warriors.
My pick to win the Stanley Cup this year is the Moose Knuckle Warriors out of the Western Hockey League. Never happened.
No, it has never happened. But, like, if you are a hockey guy, that is... I mean, that is major news right there.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there is no chance. I mean, they were going to steamroll through the NHL playoffs.
All right. Well, we had Eric Thorne of the Oklahoman on earlier. And from having listened to him, I don't know, you've had time to kind of dissect and get ready for game one, Blazers Thunder on Sunday. Is your opinion changing at all? Does he give you hope that the Blazers may pull this out?
I do. I really got the sense that, because most of the time you talk to beat writers, right, you're around the team, you have a little more confidence in them, you've seen them on a day-to-day basis, you kind of understand what's going on. That did not sound like a man that was confident in his basketball team. When we asked him what was up with Oklahoma City, they were Jekyll and Hyde. He's like, yeah, tell me about it. He's like, I don't know. So I have no idea what team is going to show up. And I do think that the Paul George shoulder injuries, because, again, two of them, one on each shoulder there, I think that's a bigger deal than anyone is making it out to be. When he was healthy, he was playing at an MVP level, and we thought Oklahoma City was probably the second-best team in the West, maybe a team that could knock off Golden State. Since the All-Star break, it's a 500 team. Paul George is nowhere near the player that he was. It's affecting his shooting. And Oklahoma City has been wildly inconsistent. So, yeah, I know the no Nurkic thing is a big deal, but you still have home court. And if Paul George isn't able to go or isn't able to go anywhere near 100%, absolutely I think Portland has a real chance in this series.
Well, he said this guy we were talking to from the Oklahoman said that the Thunder waltzed into the playoffs last year and totally overlooked Utah and got beat.
Yes.
You wonder if they'll overlook Portland, because without Nurkic, I mean, I don't know, when you sweep a team in the regular season, you probably don't I mean, you don't waltz into the series going, oh, this is going to be really tough, right? Like, they're probably like, ah, we beat them four times. This will be easy, and they don't have their center. So maybe there's an element there that Oklahoma City will overlook Portland. That would certainly help the Blazers. I think – this is weird, but I think game one is critical.
Yeah.
I really do, dude. I think that they've got to win game one, break the stupid playoff streak – and
put, some
put a little pressure on them, you know. And if you, if
Westbrook
you do that,
doesn't respond well to pressure,
if you do that, you know, I think that's your best chance. I just feel like if you're chasing your tail, you lose game one. Hopefully you get it even going back to Oklahoma City, or you're dead. If you lose game one, then the pressure's all on you to even the series. Like, you got to get ahead of this. I think
100% agree with you. Game one. Well, and what do they say? Game one winners of 7-game series. But they end up winning them like 70-something percent of the time. I mean, everyone can say all you want, it's one game. It's a very, very important game. And I do think both teams are probably facing a little bit of a confidence crisis. You're telling me that in the back of Portland's mind, they don't realize they've lost 10 in a row. And last year, you know, getting drilled by New Orleans and the no Nurkic thing. The one thing I'll say about Portland this year that I think is a big advantage over Oklahoma City is Portland has not blinked all year. They've had plenty of opportunities to fold this thing in and kind of be erratic and look like a mess, and it hasn't happened. They have been steady the entire year. Even after the Nurkic injury, they didn't fall off. And I don't think you can say the same thing about Oklahoma City. And if this ends up being a deep series and it's a physical, tough, kind of hard-fought, you know, kind of grinded out like we think it's going to be, I trust Portland's makeup more than I do Oklahoma City's in a hard-fought, chippy series.
All right. Well, game one Sunday, 12:30 here at Moda Center. Up next, Fran Fischilla will be on set with us.
That being said, if Paul George is healthy, Oklahoma City wins in five.
What do you got? Give me a prediction.
It's just
I think Oklahoma City in five.
I'll say,
but I think that the Blazers win game one. How about that?
Again, I don't know what to make of Paul George. If Paul George is healthy, I think Oklahoma City wins in six. If Paul George is limited in this series, I think Portland gets it in seven. I think game seven back at the Moda Center, and they take it.
Fran Fischilla next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
It's the USA against the world, live from Moda Center, site of tonight's Nike Hoop Summit. This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we come over here to the Moda Center for Nike Hoop Summit every year, and every year Fran Fischilla, former college basketball coach and now ESPN analyst, is kind enough to join us. Great guy, always a fun interview. Good to see you again.
It's Groundhog Day. I always enjoy seeing you guys. The year goes fast, and this is kind of like the icing on the cake for me now that the Final Four is over, so
right.
It's great to be in here.
Well, I was reading about Virginia, who just, of course, won the college championship, and
yep.
They've got a lot of – like, their roster, I don't know how many people know this, and maybe I missed it on the broadcast where they said this, but the UVA had so many guys from all around the world. They had, like, five guys or six guys from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
This sort of event here highlights that, all these kids from around the world. I mean, basketball globally is popping.
It's I always say the basketball globe has shrunk. It started in 92, you know, way before anybody. I'm old enough to remember it. You know, it seems like yesterday to me. But Dream Team spread the gospel of basketball around the world. Young guys like Pau Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki all said they were inspired by, you know, those great players in 92, Magic and Bird and Michael. And since then, and also American coaches have been going over there for many, many years, going back to the 60s, UB Brown, Dr. Jack was very big over there. So, yeah, the world has shrunk, and you know, social media, internet, technology. You see all these guys in the NBA now. I think it's over 100 guys that started on rosters at the start of the NBA season from around the world.
Well, I remember, like, Gonzaga for a long time. I mean, mm-hmm. I felt like their teams were built that way. But, you know, it's no longer like the mid-majors. You're seeing a lot of the blue bloods now that are made up of this. And
yeah.
Does that make it easier or harder to build a roster now at the collegiate level?
Well, it's interesting because, you know what, Sue? You could tell a kid from Serbia or Croatia that we got this beautiful campus in Buffalo, New York, and they think it's amazing because it's America.
Yeah.
So what's happened in Europe is the economies, sports-wise, with the various professional clubs, have taken a hit in the last decade or so. So there isn't the money for these big bonuses to the Ricky Rubios and those kind of guys, Šarić. And so a lot of those kids are coming over to college. And Gonzaga, probably more so than anybody, has cleaned up. St. Mary's with Aussies has done well. But it's great to see, for me, at the NCAA level, all these kids from around the world.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to see some of them on the world team that are going to be playing in college next
year. Yeah, tell us about a few of the key guys here tonight. Who are some of the best players here?
Well, the guy you got to watch is James Wiseman, a kid that's going. He's from Memphis. He's going to Memphis to play for Penny Hardaway. And during the practices, he's 7'1", about 240.
He's like I think he's the number one guy right on the ESPN 100.
Yeah, I think he is the number one pick next year, barring something unforeseen. He reminds me, I was telling Isaac, I don't know if I was telling you, but reminds me of David Robinson. Yeah. He is an aircraft carrier, but he's mobile and he's agile. Really interesting backcourt for the world is going to be Josh Green from Australia, who's going to Arizona, and Nico Mannion, who's born in Italy, but his dad was an NBA player, Pace Mannion. Pace played in Italy for 13 years, married a woman. She's a great athlete. Nico grew up in Phoenix. He's going to Arizona, and he's not playing for the USA team. Little story here. He got cut when he was 16, and he's grown since then. He's going to be one of the best guards out here tonight. He played for the Italian senior national team last summer. Fourth youngest guy to ever play in the national team. He'll be out here tonight in the same backcourt with Josh Green. They're both going to play for Sean Miller, I think.
And then on the other side, he's playing against Greg Anthony's kid, right?
Yeah.
And so that's like
Cole Anthony was born here.
Yeah, so it's like the number one and number two point guards in high school playing against each other tonight.
Yes, it's going to be fun. How about the guys that have been born in Portland? Domantas Sabonis. I think Mike Dunleavy Jr., if I'm not mistaken, was born here. I know he went to Portland Jesuit. Yeah. And, Cole Anthony, born in Portland.
I don't think he claims this, though.
No, he's a New York City kid. Yeah, but I would, Yeah. I like coming here.
So this kid, Nico, gets cut?
He got cut.
At 16?
I think he should have made it. But you'll see tonight, they have some good guards playing for USA. He's like 6 foot at the time. He's now 6'3". He's like Bobby Hurley, but he jumps out of the gym.
Yeah, he looks pretty slight.
Well, if you get up next to him, he's 6'3". Yeah, yeah. And, he's got this carrot top deal, so it doesn't look like he can play. But he can play. He is a tremendous point guard.
So this is Fran Fraschilla with us here, Nike Hoop Summit at Moda Center. I want to ask you about a couple Oregon guys.
Sure.
Because, you covered college ball all year. What do you think of Bol Bol at the next level? And then today, Louis King announced that he's going pro. Him, too.
King Louis, as Bill Walton would say, right? Bol Bol, I saw him. I saw him really before he packed it in November in New York. He played 8 games. He built a little resume there, and then he got hurt. But I think he was hurt.
So you're
sure
insinuating
was.
He wasn't really hurt?
I guess he was hurt. I'm sure he was. I just thought we'd get him back and see him play the rest of the season.
Oh, okay.
But he's an acquired taste. Some nights early in the season, when we were in the Garden, he had one unbelievable game, I think against Syracuse maybe.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. He looked like Kevin Durant, but taller. And then, he can't really guard. He's thin. A lot of teams like him, but then there are other teams that are not in love with him. It's kind of an acquired taste.
Again, we saw him play here last year. And that was the first time I laid eyes on him, and then we watched him play a couple times. He only played 8 games.
Yeah.
I saw 2 or 3 of those. It never looks like he's playing hard, and I don't know if that's fair or not because he's so long.
Yes.
I don't know what my eyes are watching when I look at him.
I think that's going to be the hardest thing for NBA teams, to evaluate. There's some things he does for a guy his size that are just incredible, shooting the ball and putting it on the floor a little bit. But, watching him closely in those first 8 games, really has trouble guarding out on the perimeter. Louis King is just going to be – he's a tremendous high school player. He's got the NBA size in terms of being 6'9". I think whoever drafts him, he's going to spend time in the G League. And the G League's going to be loaded next year. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think the G League you're going to see becoming a very viable situation for teams to put these young players down, like AAA. It's going to become AAA baseball.
See, I've always heard from people in the NBA that the G League's just hot garbage. Warmed over garbage. You're saying it's getting better.
It's getting better. It is. It's getting better because there's so many, like this. Let's put it this way. It's not a great draft this year. So you know, you can draft somebody with the 21st pick, and he's not going to help your NBA team. But you could, and I know the Blazers don't have a team yet, right? But everybody else in the league is taking a second round pick and putting them on their G League team, and coaching them same offense, same system as the NBA team, and it has started to become a AAA level type of deal, where it was for a while, you know, just a bunch of guys running around. But you're going to see teams mining the G League for those 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th men, I think, in the next few years, more so than ever.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the Blazers real quick. You were mentioning the Blazers. Yeah. They don't have a G League team.
Right.
They've never thought that that was worthwhile. I know they don't think much of the G League, but
maybe
they
must
not.
Change. They must not. I think there's 28 teams that have teams now. So, you know, I know Neil well, O'Shea, and they obviously know what they're doing for their team. I thought Anthony Simons would be perfect this year to play in a G League team, but I guess he played a G League game the other night and had a big game.
He did. He looked good.
He did.
37.
That's pretty good.
The one and done's going away here in a couple years. Your kind of thoughts on the impact at the NBA level and what it does to high school and college hoops?
Well, first of all, I'm in favor of doing away with it, because I think if guys like Zion want to go to the NBA right out of high school, they should have the right to do it.
Well, it's a shame to make a kid pretend to go to class.
Yeah,
for 6 months,
and there will be guys that go right to the NBA that will fail. And I think it's America. You have a right to fail, too. You know, with all due respect to Lewis King, he might have gone right to the NBA, given that he was only in Eugene for, you know, a couple months. But here's something interesting about about this whole thing with one and done. If Zion Williamson is in last year's draft, he probably goes fifth, sixth, probably gets a Nike deal that's worth $4 million, $5 million. And he goes to Duke, he blows up, he's going to sign a $100 million deal, I predict, with Nike. After the shoe blowout, I thought it was done. Yeah. That Nike's signing this kid. He's going to be worth $150 million before he even plays in an NBA game.
God.
All because he went to Duke. So all these people that say, hey, you know, college is just a bunch of baloney for these great players. You know, Zion might be, you know, he might be playing for Phoenix this year like DeAndre Ayton and putting up numbers, but nobody really knows it because they're not on TV. This kid was must-watch TV this year in college. So there is something about going to college. Like Trey Young didn't think he was going to be one and done. He went to Oklahoma. He turned out one and done. And his brand, by the time he got to Atlanta, was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, R.J. Barrett, I think, was a bigger deal at this time of the year last year than Zion was.
No doubt about it.
Zion had a highlight film, but if people asked who the better player was, it was Barrett.
Well, and he was hurt, Zion, so he didn't play
But so Barrett did.
He did, and you know what? He's going to go, I think he'll go third or fourth, because John Morant's going to go second, the kid from Murray State. Yeah. But yeah, this is fun. This is, you know, a lot of these kids – very soon, I would say, you know, give about 10 of these guys a year, and they'll all be in the NBA draft next year.
What do you think of Zion on the NBA level?
I think he's going to be tremendous. You know, minus anything injury-wise, he's had a couple now tweaks with the knees. If he stays healthy, I think he's a Hall of Fame player. I really do. I think he's, you know, he's a cartoon character. He reminds me of Shaq when Shaq played at LSU. Not the way they play, but when we watched Shaq at LSU, we were like, oh, my God, I can't believe a guy is this big, this mobile, this agile, and plays with a smile. And I think the thing you love about Zion is this incredible athleticism, good skill level, and then this incredible magnetism.
Well, yeah. And you wonder, too, I mean, not that he's, the guy's a physical freak, but that body will change. I look at like a Kevin Love at UCLA versus Kevin Love when he gets to the NBA.
Yeah.
You get him in a strength conditioning program, you get him on a professional diet, and he loses 15 pounds but puts on 5 extra pounds of muscle.
Scary.
That's going to be a Karl Malone body in a couple years.
He's way, as far as body, he's way more advanced than LeBron was.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be the LeBron-type player, but he's way more put together than LeBron was in high school.
Fran, good to see you.
Always a pleasure, guys. I'll see you next year.
Thank you very much.
365 days from now, hopefully.
Yes, we're dear friends once
again. Yeah, love coming here. Thanks.
Fran Fraschilla, it's the Nike Hoop Summit tonight at Moda Center, and it will air here on The Fan. We'll be back and get the club started a little early on The Fan next.
This is a Nike Hoop Summit edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Appreciate Fran Fraschilla. I love that he insinuated Bull Bull wasn't hurt. That was fantastic.
I had not heard that.
I hadn't either.
Well, I know he was hurt. I think Fran's take was is that he probably could have come back and played.
I didn't hear anything about that.
No.
About whispers of, oh, man, he should be playing.
I just love that Fran's like, quote, he was doing the air quotes.
He was doing the air quotes on that. That's fantastic. Freaking Bull Bull. He's going to be a bust. Blazers better not draft that dude.
You think he's a bust?
I do. And you know why I think that? It's not because of his skills. It's just that at every turn, you talk to somebody about him on the inside.
The motivation.
Yeah,
right?
He doesn't have the right mindset.
Yeah. And I will tell you that you can get by on athletic talent. You can. And you can, when you can hang around the NBA. But you do not become even a good, let alone great player in the NBA when you have very questionable work ethic. Although, to be fair, he's, 18 years old, and so maybe somewhere along the way someone manages to light a fire under his ass.
I don't know, man. I think the NBA is littered with guys with that attitude,
yeah.
And they flame out.
Yeah.
It ain't going to work, man.
Well, and the other thing, too, is if you have that attitude and you get in the NBA and you get a little money and you
get
a little fame and you
get some
girls.
Right. The money, you're exactly right.
Yep.
And the second that guy gets a first paycheck, it's going to be, I mean, what's his first paycheck going to be?
Well, I mean, if he's a top 10 pick.
Many thousands of dollars. Well, I don't think he's going to be in the top 10. I mean, they've got him maybe kind of in the Blazers range, you know, 17 to 22, somewhere
you're
in there.
You're still a millionaire overright.
That's right.
And when you,
how does that motivate you?
And when you get that, it's you got to find that rare person that you're not motivated by money. What did Trent Dilfer always say? That Dilfer's number one thing when he talked about whether he would want a player on his team. I'll see if I'm trying to remember how he phrased it. He said, "I need to find guys that that love football for what they can do for the game, not what the game of football can do for them."
Yes,
right. It's that there's a lot of guys that play, and you're there because of all the stuff that goes along with it. That the, you know, kind of the ancillary stuff. And I don't think there's a sport where that's a bigger deal than in the NBA. That the lifestyle of the keeping up with the Joneses, and you don't really have to at times be a real motivated person. You know who I think of about this is Travis Outlaw. Travis Outlaw was an athletic freak. And Travis Outlaw, if you listen to anyone who was here in Portland, Travis Outlaw ate like a 12-year-old. He ate nothing but crap. He smoked weed and played video games all day. There was never any sort of dedication to that craft. And he was a decent NBA player, and he could hang around the league. But think about what Travis Outlaw could have been with a nutritionist and a workout plan and really a desire to be the best that he can be.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting because, too, thinking about him, it's like try telling him that he was unsuccessful.
Yes. He probably made $50 million and – you know, and in his mind, he's like, what, I played 12 years or 10 years in the NBA? Yeah, what the hell, man? I was just fine.
Yeah.
And that is a...
Interesting.
It's funny that you mentioned that, but you're right. Everybody that talks about Bull Bull, to a man, they always bring up the motivation and does he love playing the game.
I mean, look, Fran, yeah, that was a good call. Travis Outlaw, $44.8 million.
Yeah. So, again, try it's a valid point you made. Try telling Travis Outlaw, how many years did he play? 10 plus?
A lot. Yeah, he's, let's see here. Seven seasons.
Seven seasons? Yeah. That's it?
No, 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, seven with Portland.
Yes, he played 12 years in the NBA, made $44 million.
Yeah. Could have been so much better.
Could have been so much better, but try telling that guy that somehow his career wasn't a good one. And if he was smart with his money, which...
He's still in the league. Oh, no, he's not.
No, I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if
he left at 29, he's never come back.
If he's smart, you know, hopefully he never has to work again. But
well, it's like Fraschilla was being nice, but, I mean, I could see it on his face sitting next to him. He hates Bull Bull.
Yeah.
And that's a GM, and he said a lot of GMs in the league won't touch Bull Bull.
Yeah.
But there are others that are intrigued by what he brings to the table. I can imagine that Neil Olshey likes him because Bull Bull is going to be in the Blazers' range. I just don't. He doesn't seem like an Olshey type player to me, and I think that's good because Olshey. One thing about Olshey is he's always brought in guys. He always vets that.
Yeah.
That this element that we're talking about.
The Portland has since the GM bro has been here. Find me a guy for Portland that has been a malcontent, pain in the ass,
a bad chemistry guy,
doesn't play hard.
Happen. He'll pass on guys.
He'll pass on, and then also too, I think that some of this has to do with Damian Lillard too. I think when that is your leader, I think it's hard to be. I think it's hard to be a pain in the ass when the best player on the team, one of the best players in the NBA, is also your hardest worker. So I think it's a nice combination between Neil O'Shea and Lillard that really hasn't happened. And I think one of the reasons Portland has been so good in the regular season is because of that. Now, postseason, you know, that's a different story because a lot of times that just comes down to raw talent.
I think Louis King should have gone back to Oregon. But, again, most of these kids, they're going to choose the money. Yeah. You know, they're going to choose the NBA. But he
would have benefited so much.
A lot because he's coming off an injury from the prior year.
Yep.
And he was good for Oregon this year, but raw, and it's just like, I don't know, that's a weird one because it's like you're not going to get drafted high.
No, but here's the thing, right? If you got to be careful because you can't say this about all kids, but let's just say, for instance, you're not a good student, right? You shouldn't be in college. You wouldn't be in college if it's not for, and I don't know if this is true about Louis King, but I know that, you know, the college basketball and college football is littered with kids that have no business being on a college campus. They have no interest in being on a college campus. And you have to sit there and deal with some horse crap assignment that you don't want to deal with. You get your $600 a month scholarship check, and you have to kind of go through all this stupid crap that you know you have no interest in. And you just are like, no, right, I'll ride a bus I'll make, you know, a couple hundred grand and – you know, yeah, it may not be the NBA, you know, fame and glory, but at least I'm making money and being my own man as opposed to sitting here and dealing with a bunch of college crap and pretending that I want to go to class.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, it's everyone's decision, and I understand that being like a major factor. I'm just saying, like, one facet of the decision is how much better will I get if I go back to college versus go to the pros.
He could have really used another year.
If Frischel is right that the G League is actually going to start to become a thing and that is going to be kind of a feeder system for the good young rookies to play, that changes everything because right now I was told by somebody in the NBA that said, I would rather have my kid at the end of a bench on the pro team and just practicing every day with the pros than with the studs. Then go to the G League and play all the time.
Yeah, it's like warmed over garbage. There's no structure. It's just like one-on-one hero
so
ball,
if that,
bad habits.
If that gets better, guys like you, Louis King, that's perfect for them. Yeah. And they're making money. But and it sounds like it is. It sounds like he said that it kind of is improving in that regard. So,
Portland's one of the few teams that doesn't have their own. They sent him to what, the Stampede or whatever?
He said, I think they go to Idaho. Blazers don't. Yeah, they don't have their own team. But he said 28 teams do have it, which means I would think that if it gets better, you know, the Blazers would get on board here.
One would think.
With that pretty soon. All right, Club is next, abbreviated edition on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.